Okay, we are at MJ BizCon next in New Orleans, and I'm here with John Rapetti and Mitzi Hollenbeck from Citroen Cooperman. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Why don't you give me a little bit of background on Citroen Cooperman and who you both are?
Sure. So Citroen Cooperman is the 23rd largest CPA firm in the U.S., and we have about 1,000 professionals within our organization. We have offices up and down the East Coast. And we have a dedicated cannabis advisory practice service group, which we have formed in response to the growing need for accounting and advisory and tax services within the cannabis industry.
Awesome. John?
We also service about 50 other industry niches. We have all of the traditional services, audit, tax, but we also have consulting and advisory services, as well as business valuation, litigation support, transaction advisory services, and many other disciplines within our industry.
So tell me how you decided, because since you're such a big firm, how to actually build out a cannabis niche within your firm. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, I think John usually says it best when he talks about how their clients really were the ones to come to us with the need that we needed to fill.
Yeah, it was from the inside out. The clients were getting into the business and they needed our assistance in structuring, helping them, getting the things done so that they would be in full compliance. And people like myself and Mitzi were essentially hit with a great number of clients in a short period of time.
Yeah,
and the opportunity certainly was there for us to look at what our client base was kind of looking to us for services. So we identified that as an opportunity, and we really had to go and vet the whole process to determine whether or not we were going to be in this industry.
And so when did all the calls start happening? Was it recent? Has it been like trickling over time?
It's just been a crescendo that has increased over a period of time.
And I think as I'm based out of the New England market, so in Braintree and Providence and those offices, and Massachusetts has gone fully recreational, which of course led to additional phone calls, and I'm doing a number of speaking engagements in the industry itself.
Yeah.
And so that's really, once we got our name out, our word out, we created dedicated marketing materials for this industry, and we really put ourselves out there. And that's really the point where we really realized that we were satisfying a need that the industry had because they didn't have anyone like us.
So what type of clients are coming to you? Like, are they small mom and pop shops? Are they people that have licenses? Are they people that need help applying for licenses? Who are they?
All of the above.
Okay.
It is the, I would say it's the incredible population from those that are fully funded and are running businesses and are investing in plant touching operations or distribution centers to right down to the mom and pop startups. Mitzi,
help
me out on this.
It's the same thing that I'm seeing as well, is really we're there because there's a lot of people that aren't necessarily business people and they need different types of advice than what they would need for somebody who's a sophisticated, well-funded, well-capitalized investor. And to roll out the Massachusetts market, for example, it was a vertically integrated medical market that came out. So you needed approximately $10 to $20 million of capital to be able to invest in this space. So the people that you were seeing in the medical side were applicants that were a little more sophisticated, that typically were able to raise those funds to move into the cannabis space. But as Massachusetts went recreational, then what was happening is there's more emphasis on the small mom and pop businesses that are applying for one segment of the license or one segment of the industry, so that they might be a cultivator or a dispensary or a marijuana-infused product manufacturer. And we're seeing that kind of shift. And each market that we're in, which is pretty much all 50 states that are, not all 50 states actually have it legal, but wherever we're actually servicing those clients, it depends upon that local market and the state regulation as to what the types of clients are that are coming to us.
So speaking of state regulations, how do you keep up with all of the changing laws and, you know, nuances? Like, how do you keep up with that?
We have all kinds of downloads and feeds that we look for and observe. We deal with the top people on the legal side of the business mm-hmm. to make sure that we're concurrent with the newest nuances of the law.
Mm-hmm.
So we put a lot of effort in. And the fact that we're 6 years ahead of everybody else in the business, in our industry at least, it allows us the ability to do things a little more efficiently and a little more quickly than anybody else in our industry.
Yeah, I would add to that too, that just having that network of legal advisors that we're working with, it's kind of a unique industry because we're working directly with the attorneys, kind of
right.
from the beginning of inception to structuring these entities and what they're going to look like and looking at the tax aspects of those clients, all the way to they're going to become an annual client that needs compliance work.
Right.
So we're working very heavily with the legal counsel on
yeah.
every single client. And that's really how we're keeping up with the different industries because, or the different states and the different regulations, because they're kind of doing it for us and we're relying on them.
Yeah. So, I mean, are they mostly multi-state clients or is it local? Because it's, you know, because I hear a lot of cannabis businesses want somebody local. So if you're in a state, you know, that is becoming local or not quite there, and John, I know you're in New York, which New York seems a little far away from being legal, but maybe not, right?
I can't comment on timing, but I can comment on your question.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll answer it definitively.
Okay.
It depends.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, and, that makes sense.
And the thing that's very unique about this industry, too, is that you can't sell product from one company
right.
in one state to another.
Right.
So there are companies that have formed holding companies and they have licensed operations in multiple states, or they're doing licensing arrangements or agreements across multiple states, but you can't physically ship from
right.
you know, Massachusetts to New Jersey.
Right. So top three things that your clients are coming to you for right now?
The wealth of knowledge that we've developed in the industry.
Okay.
As a general statement.
280E tax
yeah.
compliance, so, you
right.
know, a big specialized tax issue that if people don't know that you can't deduct anything other than cost of goods sold, that they're coming to us and really trying to understand how 280E is going to impact them.
Right.
And then to make sure that they're in compliance with the rules, regulations, laws on a timely basis.
Okay. Do you have a specific sector that you work mostly with, like growers, dispensaries, you know?
We're agnostic in the industry.
You're agnostic, okay. So in terms of starting a niche, because I think it's kind of unique what you guys are doing, because a lot of CPAs that I'm talking to are either, you know, starting their own firms and keeping it separate from their other accounting services, or they're like, you know, sole practitioners. What kind of risk is involved for you guys? I mean, are you nervous about it? Because you're top 23 firm, you're building out a real niche, you know, you got marketing materials, you know, how are you dealing with the risk?
Well, unlike the smaller firms, we have a full legal department. We have insurance and compliance on that side. And we essentially make sure that before we act on anything, we're talking with the powers that be in the various legal, insurance, and so forth departments so that we know what we're working on is solid. And the other side that I'd love Mitzi to comment on is client acceptance.
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, our client acceptance process is stringent on many clients regardless, and we have strict protocol that we adhere to. And we really had to build that additional risk factor portfolio in on these clients to really determine whether or not we were going to accept them. And we've turned away clients, plenty of clients, because of various factors that they just don't meet our client acceptance. They might not be able to get a bank or a bank account
right.
because banking is a huge issue.
Right.
So if we can't really validate the fact that you're having deposits that are being tracked to a seed to sale system, we have a hard time looking at your numbers and giving any sort of, I'm not saying assurance, but at least understanding that is, you know, those are the numbers that we can rely on.
Yeah.
We don't want to get ourselves into trouble because it's a very, it is a very risky industry.
So what year did, because this is new, what year did you officially launch the practice? A couple years ago?
You know, it was really developmental, and it's at least 6 years ago.
Okay.
But I think from a formal marketing perspective and getting out the marketing materials, it really was last year that we really pulled it all together.
And so how are you building this out? Like, how do you, and what advice would you give to other CPAs or CPA firms? Maybe you don't want to give them advice.
That's easy. Merge with us if you can get through due diligence. But no, we're not interested in giving anybody else advice.
You heard it here first. Okay. So, what are your biggest challenges in doing this work, would you say?
I would say right now it's almost the overwhelming number of clients coming to us.
Wow.
Because we really, I'm getting at least two new calls a week that are leads that are coming to me through speaking engagements or articles that I've written. People who, word of mouth, our attorney referral network, essentially, which is not really a referral network, but it's turned into that. It's really trying to keep up with the demand from the clients.
Yeah. So did you expect that you were going to be working in cannabis as a CPA?
It's probably the one thing that nobody would ever have expected of me in any way, shape, or form.
Really? And so, I mean, is there a common denominator among all your clients that you find that they, like, really struggle with or they need help with or they're successful at?
They really, what they rely on and what they need is the essential sound business advice and guidance that we've been providing for people since we started in this business.
Yeah.
And what we've done here, like we've done in every other business that we're sort of immersed in, is we've developed expertise, we've developed a team, and we have the depth that we think is pretty much unmatched at this point in time in the industry.
Yeah,
and I think it's really great for our clients because they see that we're invested in this industry as well, and we're not dabbling in it. We really made it a forefront. It's on our website. We created the marketing materials. We're really putting a concerted effort to let them know that we're there standing with them,
right,
and we're there to help them in any way that we can. And we can offer so many different services that they need, and a lot of times they don't know that they need them, and we're there just to guide them through that process too.
Any final thoughts about cannabis or where it's going or why you're here at the conference?
We are here at the conference. It's been an amazing conference, that's for sure. Lots of great people, lots of great things to see. I think this is just the start of the industry growth that we'll start to see state by state as legalization happens in all the different movements towards legalization. So I think it's very exciting. And people here are excited and people here are friendly, and it's a nice conference.
Yeah, this is inceptional in terms of an industry, and I think it's going to just keep growing and growing and growing. You only have, you know, less than 10 states that are adult use legal, and we still have a bunch of states that are not even medicinally legal. So with regard to that, there's a long way to go.
Yeah. Well, thank you both very much.
Our pleasure. Thank you.